First Thessalonians chapter 5. And our text for today is the verse 20. Very short verse of but three words. Despise not prophesying. The word prophecy means one of two things. First of all, it means foretelling, that is, revealing future events. The word prophecy also means forthtelling, which means to preach forth the word. And it is the preaching of the word which the apostle is referring to here. Despise not the preaching of the word. We may now say, but what true believer would despise the preaching of the word? But when we discover the meaning of that word, despise, we may understand how easily it is to do so. For the word despise means to think nothing of. So we hear the word preached, and we can have the attitude that we think nothing of it. It also means to set at naught, just as Christ himself by the Roman soldiers was set at naught. So the word can be set at naught. It can mean nothing to those who hear it. It also means to put down and to reject with contempt. So that's the very full meaning of the word despise. In fact, the word is not found anywhere else except the Lord in Luke chapter 18. For there in Luke 18, the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Lord is speaking about those self-righteous individuals who think they're better than others and they look down upon those whom they think are not as good as they are. And the Lord explains it in the verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterer, even as this publican. I'm better than this publican. And the Pharisee looked down upon the publican. And so Paul is saying there are those who look down upon the word. There are those who count the word of God as nothing. There are those who hear the word of God and they think nothing of it. So the Lord, that's what Paul is saying, despise not the preaching of the word. May we never have such an attitude towards the word of God, towards the scriptures of truth. Despise not prophesying, despise not the preaching of the word. That's what Paul's saying. And so if he tells us we're not to despise the preaching of the word, then we begin by considering that we are to respect the word of God that is preached. We are to respect the word preached. It is absolutely necessary to be aware of what is being rejected when the word is despised. Turn, please, to 2 Peter, because we need to know what it is we are rejecting or setting at naught or looking down upon. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. As we'll be seeing shortly, the prophetic word, the word sent forth by the prophets, the word that spoke of Jesus Christ, the day star. And then Peter goes on to say in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. The word interpretation there means origination. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private origination. It did not originate with man. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Mark those words. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. The words there, in old time, may also be rendered at any time. For the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, or the will of man. God used holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And what they said, what they delivered, revealed to the hearer the will and the mind of God. What we have here in the 66 books of the Bible is the will and the mind of God. John Gill, in his commentary, quoted the following words, that the speech of the prophets, when the Holy Spirit clothed them, in all their words, was directed by a divine influence, and the prophet could not speak in the choice of his own words or according to his will. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. This, what we have before us, that we call our Bible, is the God-breathed Word. So that if we despise or look down upon or set at naught the Word that we hear, we ought to be aware of what we're doing. We're setting at naught God's own word, his inspired word, his breathed word. Therefore, we must be careful as to how we hear the word. What we do with the word that we hear. What we do with the word that is preached to us. Remembering it's God's own breathed word. God used holy men to reveal his will and his mind to the people. And God has given us his word, and in the word he reveals his mind and his will to us. We dare not set at naught God's mind and God's will and God's word. Despise not prophesy, despise not the preaching of the word. We must respect then the word. We must respect the precepts of the word. If we are not to reject the word, we are to respect the word. Remember again the meaning of this word, despise, to think nothing of, to set at naught, to put down. These things we must not do with God's precepts. The psalmist has said, Psalm 119, verse 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. The precepts of the Lord direct us in the way we are to live for him. Again, Psalm 119, verse 15, David said, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So David is saying, I will meditate in thy precepts. And whatever thy precepts say unto me, I will have respect unto thy ways. I will apply the precepts to my walk and to my ways. The psalmist was saying, I will respect all that the Lord commandeth me to do. I will respect his word, his command, his precepts, his statute, his laws. I will not treat them as nothing. I will not put them down. Surely we must be as diligent then as the psalmist. Be as obedient to the word of God and to the precepts of the Lord as the psalmist was. Obediently observing his precepts with regard to the support of the Lord's work. The precepts in relation to our submission to the Lord's will. The precepts in relation to our separation from the world. Let us then, in light of all of the Lord's precepts for the Christian life, take upon our lips the words of the children of Israel to Moses. When Moses gave them the word of the Lord, children of Israel responded by saying, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's the attitude we are to have when we come before the God's word. Whether we're going to read it, meditate upon it, or sit under its preaching. We must have that attitude. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will obey his precepts, his commands, his laws, his statutes. It is, of course, one thing knowing, being aware of the Lord's precepts and promising to keep his precepts, it is quite another thing to do them. In Jeremiah chapter 42, the prophet there addresses such a people who, even though they knew what the Lord's will was for them, they were aware of it, yet they did not carry out his word. We read in verse 19 of Jeremiah 42, "The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts." The word dissembled means deceit. Ye have used deceit in your hearts. "When you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it." They were saying to Jeremiah, "Whatever the Lord tells you for us, to give you, to give to us, we will do it." Look at the next verse. "And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you." It's all right knowing what the will of God is for us. It's all right knowing what the mind of God is for us. It's all right knowing what his precepts are in relation to us as believers and our walk in this world. But it is quite another thing to carry out those precepts, to obey the Lord, to have that respect for the Lord and his word. James 1 verse 22, we have those familiar words. "Be ye not doers," or "be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." We can deceive ourselves. Or we can say, "Oh, well, I listen to the word, I read the word." But that's all right. But whatever the word teaches us, whatever the word tells us, we are to put into practice. If we do not, you know what we're doing? We're setting God's word at naught. We're saying it means nothing to me. And Paul here warns against that. "Despise not the preaching of the word." We are to respect the precepts of the word. We're to respect the purity of the word. The psalmist reminds us that the word of God is pure. Psalm 12, verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words." We can say amen to that and praise the Lord for that. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And again he said in Psalm 19, verse 8, "The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So when we come to handling this book, we're handling the pure, unadulterated Word of God. And for that reason, we are to respect this Word. But there are those today who do not respect the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. Note these words. Paul says, "For we are not as many." Paul says, "I am not of the many. I have nothing to do with the many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but we as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ." Paul says, "I'm not one of those men that corrupts the word." It's a pure word, remember. But there are those who corrupt the word. They do not declare, they do not preach the pure word of God. The word corrupt means to deal deceitfully with someone. This is an interesting word. It's only found here, not found anywhere else. It is a word that is full of meaning. We've already said that it's a word that means to deal deceitfully. Paul says, "I'm not one of those that is deceitful when it comes to the ministry of the word. I'll give you the whole truth and nothing but the truth." But the word corrupt here means to peddle, to be a peddler, a petty retailer, especially of wine. The word refers to a huckster. The word refers to those who will do anything for sordid personal gain. Someone who doesn't have a very good reputation. Someone who, as the word here means, a petty retailer in wine. Someone who will water down the wine and sell it as being pure wine. Paul says there are men, there are ministers, and that's what they do. They water down the word. They corrupt the word. They add to the word. They take away from the word. They do not preach the pure word of God. And there are many religious hucksters today. And what are they doing? They are deceiving their people. There are men occupying pulpits in this very town, and they are deceiving their people. They're not telling their people the truth. They're not giving them the pure word of God. They're taking away from the word. They're telling their people there's no such a place as hell. They're telling their people there's no need to fear. There is no need to be born again. There's no need of the new birth. They deceive them into believing that there's no judgment, there's no hell, there's no eternal damnation. There's no need for salvation. What are they doing? They're corrupting the word. Because that's not what the word says. That's not what the word teaches. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2. Paul says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And I'll tell you, there's many at that business today, handling the word of God deceitfully. Hucksters, peddlers. Deceiving the people. I would not like to stand in the place of those ministers on the day of judgment, because many an accusing finger will be pointed at them by people who sat under their ministry. And they'll point the finger at their minister saying, you never told me I needed to be saved. You never told me about hell. You never told me about the judgment. And those same hucksters will suffer a deeper hell than the people they ministered to, because they didn't tell them the truth. They corrupted the word. They handled the word of God deceitfully. Paul says, despise not the preaching of the word. Despise not the word of God. We are to respect the word. We're to respect the precepts of the word. We're to respect the purity of the word. We're to respect the person of the word. Christ is the person of this Bible. There are many characters in this Bible, many names in this word. But the word, or the name that stands head and shoulders above all others, is the name of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, this book is all about Christ. Every book, every chapter, if we diligently study it, we will find Christ there. He is in all the scriptures. Is not what the Lord said when he ministered to the two on the road to Emmaus? Didn't he draw near and go with them and open to them the word, expounding the word? Something you don't hear much of today, expounding the word. Some men are more interested in giving little sermonettes. The Lord expounded the word. And he said in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, the person of the word. And again, verse 44 of the same chapter, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. In the books of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, you'll find Christ. And if we despise the word, we despise Christ. The two cannot be separated. After all, Christ is the Word. If the Word of God is studied, then Christ must be studied. If the Word of God is preached, then Christ must be preached. And if Christ is preached, then he must be lifted up. Christ must be exalted. The Lord himself said, John 12, verse 32, when I'm asked to sign someone's Bible, I always sign John 12, verse 32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I, if I be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So those who show no respect for the Word have no respect for Christ. Remember again the word despise? To put down, to set at naught, to think nothing of. And again, we think of religious leaders, and we have confronted them over the years. Men who deny the virgin birth, and they stand in the pulpit. Men who deny the sinlessness of Christ. Men who deny his atoning death. Men who deny his miracles. Before we were saved, my wife and I attended an Anglican church, and the minister there was an archdeacon. He denied the miracles of Christ. He denied the miracle working power of Christ. When my wife's aunt came under conviction of her sin, she went to the archdeacon and he had no answer for her. And he was visiting another aunt of my wife. And he made reference to her sister, who was seeking after salvation. Know what he said? He says your sister needs her head examined. She needs mental treatment. Those were his words. A minister. That's who Paul's dealing with here. Putting down Christ. Setting his words at naught. They don't mean anything. And they deny the great fundamentals. Deny his bodily resurrection. Deny his deity. Say, oh, he was a good man. Set as a good example. Well, praise God, he was more than a good man. He is God. Jesus Christ is God. To be lifted up. Just as Paul lifted him up. 1 Timothy 1:17. Just before we read that verse, there's some ways that people talk about the Lord that make you cringe. One phrase I absolutely detest. People talk about the man upstairs. Imagine. Talking about the Lord, talking about the God of heaven as the man upstairs. As if they're referring to an old man who's dying and bedridden upstairs in a room somewhere. People who do that and say that despise the person of the book. Paul lifted up Christ throughout his ministry. And in 1 Timothy 1:17 he said, "Now unto the King eternal, That's lifting him up. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We add our own amen to Paul's words. How well do we lift up Christ? This is one of his precepts. We're to lift him up. Have I been lifted up? Do we lift up Christ? Do we have a testimony that lifts up Christ? Does our conduct lift up Christ? Does our conversation lift up Christ? Does our company lift up Christ? We're to have respect for the word. Not despise the word, or despise his precepts, or despise the purity of the word, or despise the person of the word. This is how we are to take the word. We're not to handle the word deceitfully. So when we come to preach, by God's grace, we'll always give you the truth. We'll always give you what's in this Bible. Always give you what's in this word. You can be sure of that. Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. And sometimes that has to be done. How will we receive it? Will we respect it as the word of God? Say, that's a word for me. We press on quickly and we have the respect for the word. There's a receiving the word preached. We are never to put down what is preached. We're never to count as nothing what is preached. We're never to set it at naught. That means we must approach the preaching of the word of God, first of all, with a spiritual attitude. Having a spiritual attitude to the word may be summed up in the words again of the children of Israel in response to the word of the Lord to them by Joshua. This is what they said. All that thou commandest us, we will do. And wheresoever thou sendest us, we will go. That's having a spiritual attitude to the word. An attitude that willingly and humbly will receive every word of instruction, every word of reproof, every word of rebuke. There must never be no-go areas when it comes to the Bible. During the troubles in my homeland of Ulster, there were no-go areas. At the height of the troubles, streets were blocked off, and nobody, not even the security forces, made their way into those areas. They were no-go areas. Sometimes people have no-go areas in the Bible. They'll say, oh, whatever you do, preacher, don't deal with that subject. Don't go there with that subject. And they don't like to hear certain issues preached upon. It's a no-go area as far as they're concerned. Not with Paul. And he said farewell to his church, to the church at Ephesus. He declared unto the people there and to the church here the whole counsel of God. By God's grace, that's what we will always endeavor to do. To preach the whole counsel of God. We must always accept it as a word from the Lord. Have that spiritual attitude to the word. Second Timothy 3 verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's for our benefit, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's for our benefit. If we say, well, I don't want the preacher to go there, I don't want the preacher to go here, I don't want the preacher to deal with this issue, I don't want the preacher to deal with this subject, we're losing out with God. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All scripture is profitable. All of it. We must have a spiritual attitude. We must have a spiritual appetite. When we go up to the house of the Lord, do we go to the Lord's house with a spiritual appetite? Rejoicing, I'm going to God's house today to worship the Lord, and I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to hear the word today. I wonder what the Lord has to say to me today. That's the attitude we're to have. We're to have an appetite. A hunger for the word. Jeremiah said in chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them. It was the prophet's way of putting into words how he hungered for the word. You know about our churches in Nepal. Many of those churches are up in the mountains. And people walk, some of them barefoot, for many miles to get to their church. And when they're there, they sit for hours listening to the word. You might say, well, why would they do that? Because they have a hunger for the word. They have an appetite for the word of God. We have an appetite for the word. The Lord will satisfy us with the word. Psalm 107, verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with his goodness. Proverbs 27, verse 7, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Sometimes a word of rebuke may be a bitter word to swallow. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The Lord will make it sweet because it comes from him. Because we can say, well, that's a word from the Lord for me. 1969, 5th of May was the night that I got saved. And I remember the days following my conversion. Every day we would say, my wife and I, where can we go to tonight? Is there a gospel mission somewhere tonight? Are there special meetings somewhere tonight? Where can we go to tonight to hear the word? We would travel the province. If we knew there was some meeting on in some of our churches, why? Because we had a hunger for the Word. A hunger for the Word. Do we have that hunger today? Do we have a spiritual appetite for the Word? Do you remember those early days? Peter refers to them as newborn babes in Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire the Word. Oh, may we desire the Word. May we have that spiritual appetite for the Word. Not set it at naught. Not look down upon it. Not regard it as nothing. But look upon it as the food for our souls. A food that we must have. Needs to be a spiritual affection for the Word. Should the Christian not have a deep-seated love for God's Word? Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And he went on to say, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And many of us would put the love of the Word above our love for riches. The psalmist did. Is it our testimony? Like that of David when he said, Psalm 119, verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Same Psalm, verse 174, thy law is my delight. In the last place, there's to be rejoicing in the word preached. You look at Acts 8. Peter went to Samaria. Along with the apostles, they went everywhere, preaching the word. Preaching the word. And Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And in verse 8 of Acts 8, we read there was joy throughout the city. What brought the joy? It's the word. We rejoice in the Word because in the Word we have the truth. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. And often my heart goes out to those dear believers that make contact with our presbytery throughout North America, and they say, send us somebody to preach the word to us. Because they're in towns and villages where there's no gospel preaching church, where the book is not preached, where the truth is not told, and they cry out, send us somebody to preach the truth to us. How thankful we are that we're in a denomination that preaches the truth. We rejoice in the truth. We rejoice in the teaching. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. It's not what we need. We need teaching. It's all right going somewhere and hearing the word, but are we getting any teaching? We need the word taught to us. It's needful, Paul told the Hebrew believers, some of them, it is needful that one should teach you again how we need to be taught. That's what Christ did. Over and over again, you'll read in the Gospels that he both preached and taught, because he knew people needed to be taught. Despise not prophesying. Despise not the preaching of the word. Look not down upon the word. Don't set it at naught, but receive it, all of it, as the word of the living God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and gracious God, we do thank thee for the word. We praise thee for this book. We thank thee, Lord, for its precepts, its laws, its judgments, its commandments, its statutes. We thank thee today for the word. God-breathed word, inspired word, infallible word, inerrant word. O gracious God, have us at all times to receive humbly, honestly, every word that, Lord, thou dost give us. May we always receive it gladly as a word from the Lord. Lord, write this word upon our hearts today. Lead us on with thyself and throughout this day. And Lord, return us in thy will to thy house tonight. We might learn more about thee and indeed more of thy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.